You bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we explore those wonderful treasures you have promised to us, we come today to water. And there we see that water is a part of that which sustains life. It is life-giving. Help us to see how that water applies to our lives as we live them out in our day and our time. Bless us through the power of your word this day, that we can share in what it is to be your children, washed by that water and by the blood of the sacrificial lamb that was placed upon the tree. Amen. Next to the air we breathe, water is a primary element in God's creation. Without fresh water, your body cannot be maintained. When you go to the doctor, he asks you, how much water are you drinking? A lot of times. Water is important. Water comes in several forms. Like yesterday morning when it was frozen on the pavement. Yes. Or in liquid form, which we enjoy as we drink it. And then it is a gas. Water is everywhere in our world, and 70% of the world or better is covered by water. There's a purpose that God placed so much water upon this earth. We also know that water can be very powerful, and sometimes in its powerfulness, it can be very destructive. We have witnessed and seen those scenes of the ravishing floods that have inhabited various parts of the world at various times, and most of us can remember 2013, that great last flood in our area. Or you might be reminded, especially our school children, are being displaced because of frozen ice, water getting in the wrong form, freezing and creating a mess in a couple of classrooms over at the school. But by God's grace, they are back in their classrooms today. We think about it. As God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a promise because of sin entering into the world, because they disobeyed God. And they had all of this to their keeping. And we hear the story of the fall into sin. But what do we see in chapter 5 is also how that sin affects God's creation. And so we have Cain and Abel in that story. And then when we come to chapter 6, we come to the story of the flood. Imagine how all of this has happened and in a very short period of time. Chapter 6 now talks about the inhabitants of the world being so bad that God decides to destroy the world by a flood. But he chooses one family from which he would start again. And so they entered into the ark. The flood came because of the wickedness of all mankind. And then as the flood ended, God again made a covenant as he placed a rainbow in the sky and reminded them that he would never destroy the earth like this again. We have many other times in which we see water in Scripture. Moses and the people of God, as they crossed the Red Sea, God parted the waters and they could cross over in dry land. And then as they crossed over, the waters came flushing back in on top of Pharaoh and his army and they were all drowned. Joshua then begins in the book of Joshua as he travels and leads the people of God to the promised land. God once again parts the waters of the Jordan so that his people could cross over once again into the promised land. Elijah used water to heal Naaman, a Syrian commander of who had leprosy, by having him simply dip and wash in the Jordan. Or as Moses sweetened the waters of Marah and made water flow from the rock as the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. The psalmists talk about the use of water. And I love that one. We used to sing this hymn, but a song about that from Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing waters, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Last week, we saw how salt was added to water to sweeten it by Elisha so that the people could drink from the streams. It was Isaiah who says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus begins his ministry by going down to the Jordan, where there he was baptized by John the Baptist. And as he came out of the waters, we heard that voice, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Just as God led his people across the Jordan into the promised land, that was Israel, he now reduces Israel to one in his son. And he begins that ministry on our behalf, doing for us what we could not do. Our Heavenly Father works on each of our lives. You ever think about how God molds and shapes you day by day, conforming you through the waters of baptism? You are reminded that he is reforming you day in and day out into the image of his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. In the waters of baptism, it was God who called you by name, who gave and promised to you an eternal future with him in eternity. Yes, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for each one of us. If you look at Jesus' ministry, water is splashed throughout that ministry. His first miracle was changing water into wine. Jesus encouraged Nicodemus in our gospel reading to be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus offered living waters to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. He heals a blind man by inviting him to get into the pool at Bethsaida. Jesus reminds them of the waters in the wilderness as he invites them in John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus washes his disciples' feet in the upper room with water. And it is water and blood that flows from his side on the cross. It's not coincidental. It's a part of God's plan. It's a part of the treasures that he gives to us day in and day out in our lives. Water is woven throughout all of Scripture, pointing us to the way of salvation, which is completed in and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, coming to become one with us as we celebrated at Christmas that child born in a manger would soon grow into a man to suffer, to die, to take your place. St. Paul concludes, our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and for they drank from the spiritual rock that flowed from them, and that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. St. Peter, he wrote it this way, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which now corresponds to this, now saves you, Peter writes, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers, having been subjected to him. This is all a part of God's plan for each one of us. Consider as you worship in this Lenten season how God, our Heavenly Father, is reshaping your life, rewashing you every day to the baptismal waters that was proclaimed upon you, whether you were a baby or an adult. The early church fathers used water as a physical way to teach about the Bible, about baptism, and about faith. Water is a symbol of who we are as the children of God. And so this morning, I thought about doing it right now, but I'm going to do it at the end of service. Before you stands the baptismal fount. In that baptismal fount is water. And as you leave this morning, this worship, I invite you and I encourage you to come. You can come down both sides. Dip your fingers in the water and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, reminding you of what that water symbolizes and what it has done for you as God sent his one and only Son. That you too have been reborn, as Nicodemus was told, through water and the Spirit. Jesus is the vine that each of us has been connected to. John talks about it throughout his gospel. He has grafted you to himself through calling you his child and making you his child in the waters of baptism. In him you live, you move, and you have your being. And if he were a potter, our God would use water to soften the clay of each one of us, to mold us into that beautiful piece of pottery we each are. Water makes that clay moldable, and so that it can be fired in the oven. Yes, we are told he is the potter, we are the clay. He works through the Holy Spirit, reshaping us into the image of his one and only Son. Luther put it this way: the old Adam in us should daily, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil spirits, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. If you go to the creation, it was the Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation. It is that same Spirit that hovers over your life and my life, the life we have in Christ. Remember that daily we must drown the old Adam. Lent is about Christ accomplishing for us what we could not do. Think about the waters of your baptism. How many times do we think about our own baptism? How God molds you and shapes you to be his sons and daughters through faith, through that blood shed upon the cross for each one of you. And so as we join in prayer, conclude our worship, and sing our final hymn as you leave, come to the fount of your baptism. Wash yourselves in the sign of the cross and be reminded who you are and what a treasured possession you are to your God. Amen. We rise for prayer.